You're listening to the Douglas Jacoby Podcast. Here we bring you some of the material found on Douglas's website in podcast form. We hope that as you listen, you are challenged to think about faith. Today, Douglas continues his series on the imitation of Christ, now looking at futile hope. For more on this episode, follow the link in the show notes to Douglas's website. Now here's today's teaching.
Hello, you're listening to Thomas A. Kempis's The Imitation of Christ. This is podcast 7. Before I begin, let me thank you not only for listening, but for being members of the website. It's such an important source of support for my ministry, and I truly hope you're getting everything out of this you can. Last time, the meditation was on intimacy with Christ. A. Kempis gave us a number of ideas as he stressed the importance of cultivating our relationship with Jesus. The meditation began, when Jesus is present, all is well and nothing seems hard, but when Jesus is absent, everything is hard. And it occurred to me, we need to be intentional about that relationship. I don't simply mean making daily time to read and pray. I hope that we're all doing that. But intimacy is in other moments. It might be in the songs we sing in church, or as we go about our work, or in the shower. It's in the selection of words that we pray. Some words can be quite clinical, mechanical, but we got to think of intimacy. It's a relationship with Jesus. We build intimacy through dealing with sin, through submitting our will to Christ. And if we fail to cultivate the relationship, there are so many consequences, and life will be hard. Life will be challenging. Well, I hope this dovetails well into today's meditation, which is from chapter 7 of book 1. And he called it, A. Kempis calls it, on fleeing from futile hope and pride. Here's the plan. It's not very long. I'm going to read the chapter, and then I'll highlight the things that hit me. Probably some of those things hit you as well. Then we'll read it a second time and pray. Thank you again for being part of this series. Let us begin on fleeing from futile hope and pride. The life of people who put their trust in other people or any created thing is futile. By the love of Jesus Christ, we do not need to be afraid or ashamed to be the servant of others and be considered poor in this life. Don't depend upon yourself, but put your hope in God. Do what you can, and God will help your good intentions. Don't trust in your learning, nor in the cleverness of others, but trust in the grace of God, who opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let us not boast in our riches, if we have them, nor in our friends, if they are powerful, but boast in God, who provides all we need. More than that, he gives himself to those who desire him. We must not be proud of our body's strength, because a small germ can make us sick or kill us. Let us not be vain about our skillfulness or abilities, but fear that we will displease our Creator, from whom every good gift we have comes. And we should not count ourselves better than others, for perhaps we may appear worse in the sight of God, who knows what is in our souls. Do not be proud of good works, because God does not judge as people do. What pleases people often displeases him. If we regard ourselves good, we should consider others better, so we may maintain our humility. It does us no harm to place ourselves below all others, but great harm occurs when we place ourselves above even one person. Peace is always with the humble person, but in the heart of the proud, there is envy and continual wrath. I thought this was so powerful. Please let me go through it and share some things that hit me. He begins that first sentence, the life of people who put their trust in other people or in any created thing is futile. Our identity cannot be in another person, no matter how wonderful that person is. Nor can it be in wealth or health or anything or any part of the creation. What he's trying to get us to do is to focus on God, to focus on Jesus. And Jesus showed us how to live. He showed us how to live a life of obedience and intimacy a life that was in submission to the Father. We need to focus on him. So he gives us so many practicals. He says, like, don't be afraid or ashamed to be the servant of others. Maybe that's a job as a waiter or waitress. Maybe it's volunteering as an usher in church or in a soup kitchen or in a children's ministry. Maybe the trash needs to be taken out. You deal with the rubbish. Maybe that diaper needs to be changed. We're not above anything. We need to be humble, as Paul says in Romans 12. So important. He says that we shouldn't trust in our learning. A very small percentage of the world has a full education. Many people have dropped out well before the high school level, and only a few percent have had the privilege of going to university. Those of us who've had years of education shouldn't look down on those who were not born into such privilege or did not receive the scholarship. We don't put our trust in our education or in our cleverness or in someone else's cleverness. Some people, we can think they're spiritual, and it's just more that they're clever. They know the thing to say, but God is looking in the heart. A Kempis tells us not to boast in our riches, if we have them. I thought that was humorous. Not to boast in riches is no problem if you're only 10 or 20 years old. It's very unlikely you have riches. But if you lived in Western society, even someone living in the lowest class is unspeakably more wealthy than people were in the Middle Ages. And even if you're low on the totem pole, so to speak, you're probably way above the world average when it comes to a standard of living. How much more than the middle class or those who are even wealthier? The challenge, I think, is not so much for the young people, although we all should keep it in mind, but it's for those who are older, who may have saved and provided for their twilight years. And I see this in older women, but more in older men, kind of a confidence in themselves and their earning power and what they've accomplished in their career. And that's not necessarily the same as confidence in God. He also says not to put trust, not to boast in friends if they are powerful. You may have met a number of famous people, maybe in your field, maybe in different fields. Maybe you know someone who's powerful. Maybe you've had lunches with presidents. Maybe you've been consulted by prime ministers. I don't care who you are. A Kempis doesn't care, and God doesn't show any favoritism. Sometimes we try to make ourselves look good by sharing about all the people we know, the people we've met, and that's vain. That's putting our security in something other than God. Oh, then he says, not to be proud of our body's strength. I think of how many hours are put into physical fitness and training programs and going to the gym and trying to sculpt muscles that in time will wither anyway. And I'm not for a moment suggesting we should just let our bodies go. We need to stay fit. It's important if we're going to maximize our time here on earth. But we shouldn't be overly focused on that. I mean, it's great to have a strong heart, but for most professions, how strong your biceps are is irrelevant, okay? And our modern society is too focused on that. And he says, you know, a small germ can make you sick or kill you. Well, that's exactly right. So we focus so much on health, almost as though a long life is an entitlement. It's something the government should guarantee us. This is really silliness. He tells us not to be vain about our skillfulness, or not just skill, but ability. And we think, yes, but I earned this, or I practiced this, or I play the violin because, you know, I practiced 25 hours a day for many years. Okay, maybe so. But still, what we've received is not from us originally. First, God gave us life. Our parents gave us life. If we play the violin, I don't. We must have been in a place where there was sufficient leisure to make time for that. And besides, to play the violin, unless you made the violin yourself, someone else made it, right? I mean, we're so dependent on others. It's a web of, it's a network. It reminds me of the scripture in 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? So this all challenges a human pride. Just a couple more things. Not to be proud of good works. Maybe that's what we do to help the poor, or things we do as Christians. Maybe it's in our counseling or our outreach. Because God reminds us that what pleases people often displeases Him. Oh, he mentioned some other things, too, that were really great. What to hit here? Well, let me just jump down to the end, where he says, peace is always with a humble person. Maybe if we're not at peace in our hearts, and you know whether you are, maybe it's because we're lacking in humility. Very rich, very powerful. Let's read it all again before we pray. The life of people who put their trust in other people or any created thing is futile. By the love of Jesus Christ, we do not need to be afraid or ashamed to be the servant of others and be considered poor in this life. Don't depend upon yourself, but put your hope in God. Do what you can, and God will help your good intentions. Don't trust in your learning, nor in the cleverness of others, but trust in the grace of God, who opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Let us not boast in our riches if we have them, nor in our friends if they are powerful, but boast in God, who provides all we need. More than that, he gives himself to those who desire him. We must not be proud of our body's strength, because a small germ can make us sick or kill us. Let us not be vain about our skillfulness or abilities, but fear that we will displease our Creator, from whom every good gift we have comes. And we should not count ourselves better than others, for perhaps we may appear worse in the sight of God, who knows what is in our souls. Do not be proud of good works, because God does not judge as people do. What pleases people often displeases him. If we regard ourselves good, we should consider others better, so we may maintain our humility. It does us no harm to place ourselves below all others, but great harm occurs when we place ourselves above even one person. Peace is always with the humble person, but in the heart of the proud, there is envy and continual wrath. Let's pray. We give you thanks, Lord, for the meditation of this day. We desire truly and deeply to flee from futile hope and pride. And we know it's in us. It's in all of us. We fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. Please help us get our priorities right and not to trust what others trust, the arm of flesh, but to truly trust in God and to live, Lord, by your Spirit. For we ask that through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. Our next devotional will be from Book 3, Chapter 27. It's called How Selfish Love Hinders Us. And by the way, you've noticed I guess all the podcast up until now, the notes page has contained quotes, kind of quotes from Thomas A. Kempis that I thought were really great. I'm not going to give you any more, but there's a link from today's page, and that'll take you to my website. And at the bottom of a quotation page, it's an anthology of quotations, go down several hundred, and you'll see 31 quotes from Thomas A. Kempis, in case you're doing any memory
work. We hope you enjoyed Douglas's series on the imitation of Christ.
Back tomorrow.
For additional notes and resources, be sure to check out Douglas's website in the show notes. The website has hundreds of articles, podcasts, and videos for you to access for free. You can also become a premium subscriber and gain access to thousands of online resources from Douglas's teaching ministry. Thanks again for listening.